Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who loves to watch true crime, but only if it's shoplifting, Pete Chwaba.
Hey, welcome to Nightlight. I am Pete Chwaba. So great to have you with me on this Thursday night edition of our show where we talk about movies and TV and comedy and pop culture and all fun Wisconsin things. So much fun to discuss the things we love every night. The things that bring us together, folks, that promote unity, right? And that's what we need at the end of the day, in my opinion. Very excited to get to tonight's show. Fun guests. Some good bits, as they say, maybe. You think what we do, are they bits, Conrad?
Are they?
I don't know. Who cares? I went from 60 to zero just like that with no enthusiasm for the show whatsoever.
Segments.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, Nightlight with Pete Chwaba is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out their webpage, MinocquaBrewingCompany.com, to see where you can buy progressive beer and join them for live music, poetry, and progressive politics at their new tap room at 2927 East Washington Avenue in Madison, Wisconsin. I am very excited. I will be there live next Tuesday. We'll be doing a remote. Nightlight will be at the Minocqua Brewing Company. John and Gordy will be there from the WMDX morning show. That will be fun. Kirk Bangstad, the owner of the Minocqua Brewing Company, is bringing in a musician, someone to do some poetry, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So if you're in the Madison area, stop by next Tuesday night. I promise it'll be a gas. We'll have a great time. Pardon me. So that'll be fun. That is May, what's today, the 2nd?
Yeah, it is. Seventh. It's the
2nd. May 7th, we'll be there. Conrad will be here.
I'm just going to be by myself.
Tell you what.
Enjoying the fun over there.
Yeah, you got the life. Having your little Tom Cruise party here, your risky
the kegger in here.
Yeah, exactly. You ready to take some text tonight?
Oh, of course.
I think we're going to get a few. We got a pretty good question. Tonight, they're giving away, how do I phrase this? I sent you that thing. It's Airbnb at different like celebrity places or with themes. Airbnb is offering limited icon experiences that include staying in the house from Up in the mansion from X-Men 97. There will also be a living room experience with Kevin Hart. And you can also book Kevin Hart to do comedy at the Airbnb you stay at. So this is like a new thing now, themes. And my son had this when it was his birthday a couple years ago. Kevin from The Office wished him a happy birthday. He helped my sister out with some stuff, his aunt, so she got him this gift. You can hire celebrities to wish you happy birthday. And it's not, I mean, it's expensive, but it wasn't crazy. Like, I was thinking $5,000, but to get Kevin from The Office was like $100 or something like that. And Kevin, you know, because of The Office, he had a small role, but he's so recognizable because of that show. So he wished my son happy birthday with a ton of enthusiasm. Like he crushed it, really threw himself into it. And it was like 10 minutes, 5 minutes. I don't know what it was, but it was a cool thing. So now they're doing that with Airbnb. You can stay at an iconic place. So tonight's question is, where would you want to stay? Like the Great Gatsby House where they filmed that, the Psycho House. Where would you want to stay? The Happy Days House where they shot that? Not saying that's one of the things offered, but you can choose from anything in movies or TV. Where would you want to stay in an Airbnb, let's say for a weekend? You know where I would stay? Conrad, are you wondering?
I mean, yeah.
Have you left? Okay, you're still here. Okay, good. Take a guess.
The Seinfeld house.
Oh, that's a great one. That is a great one. That would actually be in my top five. I want to stay for a weekend in the Bosch house where Detective Harry Bosch lives on the show Bosch. Remember we had Scott Clace on the show?
Yeah, yeah.
And he plays the watch commander on Bosch. I would go to Harry Bosch's house and stay there. That view of LA at night is incredible. That's probably where I'd want to stay. Where would you want to stay? If you could stay anywhere iconic from movies or TV, what they're doing now.
You know, I would want to go to Hogwarts.
Really?
Yeah. That would be so cool.
That's in England, I assume, or somewhere in the UK?
Yeah.
Okay. Honestly, but, I don't know the really movies cool. that well. So that's why I'm asking seriously, like if it was on a soundstage or, you know, if they actually filmed on location, I don't know. That would be, wouldn't that be weird though, without any of the characters there?
It's kind
of
creepy. You. It's just that big of a place and it's just you there.
It's just you.
That would be creepy.
It would be a little more overwhelming than when you're here alone at WGBW.
Well, yeah. Hogwarts is a little bit bigger than this.
That's a good one. Hogwarts. Conrad would stay at Hogwarts. I would stay at the Bosch House from the show Bosch, which is in the Hollywood Hills. It overlooks the entire city of Los Angeles. And it's like all these windows. If you Google Bosch House, you'll see what I'm talking about. And the scenes they shoot there are incredible. And yeah, a close second would be probably Seinfeld's apartment. I think that would be really fun.
You know, maybe Chandler and Joey's apartment.
Yeah.
That would be pretty cool.
I had a feeling you were going to go there.
You can just play foosball whenever you want.
Right. Or play cups.
And that insanely big TV that they had for the time.
Oh, that entertainment center. That was so great. Yeah, that would be a good one. I just saw something on Friends, and I meant to tell you about it. It was... it'll come to me.
I think one of my favorite episodes from Friends is though is when they get the TV and they never leave their chairs.
Oh, that's great.
The whole episode. And they order pizza and everything and they get Phoebe to get it for them just to open the door.
That's so great. And doesn't she come in and Joey's watching like some weird thing? What are you watching this for? I can't find the remote.
Yes.
So that's our question. Where would you want to stay? An Airbnb that's iconic. It could be a scene from a movie or TV. Let us know. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. This is a national day of prayer. Did you say your prayers today, Conrad?
I did not. I didn't know it was national day.
Why? Well, you don't need a national day to say your prayers. I say mine every day. I still do, honestly. I'm not like the most religious guy in the world, but, you know, I like to reflect. So I think that's kind of cool. You guys can weigh in on any of these topics if you want. 855-752-4842. Do you still say your prayers? It's also, here's what I thought of you too, Conrad. It's National Tuna Day.
I just saw that. Like I said, I like tuna. It just can't be in a can.
Can't be in a can. You got to reach into the ocean and pull out a tuna with your bare hands. That's how you do it.
See, my dad grills some tuna steaks whenever I go visit them. Those are good. They're so good.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite foods. Some big releases this week, too. The movie Big George Foreman came out. I think it's on Netflix. I can't remember. But you know what? George Foreman is such a great story. He was raised on the really tough streets of Houston. But he was a really tough kid. Like, I remember reading something, this big expose on him like 20 years ago. He was beating up 17-year-olds when he was like 12. Like, he was just a big dude. But I started watching... And, you know, and then obviously he went back to fighting when he was like 45. And I don't remember if he actually took the title back, but he made a run at it. Started the George Foreman Grill, did a talk show tour. He's really likable. Like, he kind of matured into this really likable sort of big teddy bear. But I started watching the movie because I find him fascinating. And it was so sad. Like, the first 10 minutes just show him getting picked on, sitting at a table with not enough food. Sharing it with his sister. I mean, it was absolutely heartbreaking. I had to turn it off. And for me to turn a movie off, something like that has to happen. I won't turn a film off if it's bad because I have this stupid hope that at some point it might get better, even though it never does. Or that I paid money and I want to stick it out, even though it becomes a waste of time at some point. But that was just too heartbreaking. I couldn't watch it. I could not do it. Kind of a cool day in movie history today. This was the production. Principal photography started today on the film Jaws in 1974. A lot of people, some film historians, have said Jaws is what ruined cinema. And I disagree with that. It changed it. The blockbuster became a big thing. Star Wars followed. All these big action films. But that's inevitable. Change is inevitable. Do you still, Conrad, when you're in Walmart?
Yeah.
Or Target.
Okay.
Or Home Depot. You see where I'm going with this?
Home Depot. I don't go there.
Wherever. You're renting. What are you going to Home Depot for?
Exactly.
You get a toilet brush at the grocery store. I always go to the people that are still there, the actual human cashiers, because I don't want them to lose their jobs. I feel like when we do the automated thing, I mean, unless I'm in a crazy hurry, but I know that's where it's headed. Like even McDonald's, you go order at a kiosk or whatever.
I honestly go to the self-checkout. No, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
It's just so much faster, I think.
Well, that's what they're counting on.
Yeah.
And I get it. That's what most people do. But if you really stop and think, wow, these people, the more people that do that, the more people that are going to lose their jobs. And that is inevitable. That's going to happen at some point.
See, the one thing I have noticed is that they have like, I go to festival, all right?
Yeah.
They have like, I don't know, 9 or 10 checkouts. And anytime I go there, there's only one open.
Mm-hmm. Wait, you mean the human checkouts?
Yeah, exactly.
I think, you know what? I think a lot of people are onto this. And I think that's why they are more crowded. You're right. You do have to stand in line more. Where I'm going with this is I think Jaws, for people to say, and it's mostly film snobs, that Jaws changed cinema. It did change it, but not necessarily for the worse. And it was inevitable. And it pumped more money into studios, into the show business. Ultimately, I think it was good. I understand what people are saying. It was kind of the death of the auteur. Steven Spielberg made smaller films. George Lucas made American Graffiti before he made Star Wars. Change is inevitable. They do make crappy movies, though, now sometimes. Hey, here's a fun thing. I had my auto. You ever use voice, Conrad, when you're texting?
No, I usually actually, I don't do that.
I do because my thumbs are too fat to text. So I had the voice thing on today, and I burped, and the word Bob came up.
Well, if you're ever wondering what it sounds like.
Well, The Simpsons did that. The baby burped, and Homer said, did you hear that? Her first word. She said burlap. But that actually happened to me today. So think about that. Think about me burping, folks, and what that looks like when it comes to letters. All right. We're going to answer your text. We're going to get back at it, too. I didn't even introduce my guest. Rich Williams is here tonight, ladies and gentlemen. One of the funniest guys I know is here in the 8 o'clock hour. Coming up at 7:35, local musician Matt Harper is here. It's going to be a really fun show. Stick around. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. Says I would totally stay in the Up House, which is one of the places you can stay at an Airbnb. Iconic Airbnb. So there you go. Today is Ellie Kemper's birthday. Now, I bring that up because she was on The Office, and she kind of replaced Pam as the, what's Pam's title?
Receptionist.
Receptionist, yeah. And she was funny. I thought she was really funny, and I found this clip. It's my favorite. I kind of stopped watching The Office after like season 5. I mean, I've seen some of them, but not all of them. But she was really good, I thought, when she replaced Pam. And we have, but she was kind of nutty. How do you describe her, Conrad? You're like more
all over the place.
Yeah, like she had a crush on Andy.
Yeah,
how weird is that?
And then she dates Gabe.
And then she dates Gabe. I forgot about Gabe.
And what's funny is she's like in her car just talking to Pam, and she's like, he's like, or she said, yeah, I don't know. I just can't hug him anymore.
Like that's as far as they've gone?
Like, no, like she's wanting to break up, but she doesn't know herself yet. And she's like, yeah, I just don't want to hug him anymore. Oh, but she can't realize that they need to break up yet.
It's funny. Because I remember Andy said when he was dating Angela that he was frustrated because they did a lot of necking. All right. So this is a clip. One of my favorite Ellie Kemper clips from The Office. She's a receptionist and she's kind of paranoid, and it's a very short clip, but here it is.
We all get together and help each other and hire a new guy, and then we all kill him. But first we take out like $100,000 life insurance policy. I bet you guys like that idea, don't you?
I think that's what they're doing to me. I can't prove it, but I wanted to see their faces when I said it. I learned nothing.
I don't know what the that was.
I say we bomb them.
The reason I like that so much is because I don't like when, I don't like the word frick. Just say the word. We know what you're trying to say. You just don't have the guts to say it. Sitcoms, it's the same way. They'll say, you know, there was a scene in The Walking Dead once where Rick said they don't know who they're screwing with. It just, like, don't say the word. If you can't drop the F-bomb when the F-bomb is warranted, go a different route. But I loved that they bleeped over the F-bomb that Michael said there. Like, it's a TV show and they bleeped it out. You don't really see that. Usually they write something lame instead. I'd rather hear the bleep. So there you go. All right, so The Fall Guy opens this weekend. Are you going to see that, Conrad?
You know,
that's a no.
It looks interesting. I don't know. I don't think I'll probably just wait for it to come on, because they'll probably go to HBO Max or something.
You know, I'm not in a hurry to see it, but yeah. I will say I'll probably go just because it's fun when something new opens. Mm-hmm. And it's big. And I have this theory, and I've talked about this before on this show. I just think critics are kind of snowflakey or spineless these days. It seems like they like everything. I remember half the movies that came out got panned. Critics were actually critical. But now it's either they don't want to lose their credentials or not be able to get interviews. It's like they're afraid to really criticize things. So I can't tell. I don't think movies have gotten that much better. So I can't tell if they're just being kind of wusses or what the deal is. But apparently, there's a line in the movie where the woman from Ted Lasso, don't get me started on Ted Lasso, walks into a trailer and says, oh, what's the line? She says, oh, Johnny and
Amber
were in here or something, making reference to the messy trailer because apparently their house was a pigsty at times. Yeah, it looks like Johnny and Amber were here, referring to Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. So, as usual, social media erupts in stupidity and is outraged about things that make no sense to be outraged about.
I don't get why they're mad at that.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, you don't even know them. They went on trial. It was a public trial. I think it was televised, and said how the relationship was toxic and abusive, and people get pissed off because there was a joke about a messy trailer. Oh, we shouldn't make fun of their tidiness. These two celebrities I've never met. I just don't understand. Like, there are actual things to be outraged about.
They could have made a much worse joke than that. Yeah. It's not a terrible joke.
It's not a terrible joke. No, it's not. It is a terrible. It's not that funny.
I mean,
maybe it's inside because the Fall Guy is stuntman and it's the movies, and maybe they're, you know, I'm taking it in context only as I read it on the New York Post.
Yeah.
So I have to see it and I'll report back, and maybe I'll do a retraction. I'll pretend I'm a real journalist and do a retraction if I find that my criticism is unwarranted. But I'll probably see that. And then the Seinfeld movie, this makes me nervous because, not nervous, but Jerry Seinfeld, you know, I'm a fan, love this show. He's really speaking out now. And that tends to be when it happens, when they're trying to promote something. So you'll say, like, you know, things that are somewhat controversial. But he's kind of got the Midas touch. I mean, I loved the film B-Movie. When my kids were young, we went to see it. I loved the story about bees. I thought it was cute. I thought Patrick Warburton was funny in it. And now Jerry's doing stuff again about his childhood with the Pop-Tarts and the Post and Kellogg's wars. And part of me wants to say, all right, enough with the cereal. We know you like cereal, but the story of the unfrosted Pop-Tart, I think, sounds kind of funny, but it has not been reviewed yet. They're either not making it available to be reviewed, which makes me nervous, because they know it's a turd. But I don't know. I'm sure it'll do well. It's a PG-13. Kids are going to go see it. Families. It's hard to find those movies, too, where a family can go. Now my kids like more disgusting things than me, though. So it's like the family we can't go see those. The family films anymore. What? When's the last time? Would you go into a theater, Conrad, and watch a kid's movie as a young single guy?
The last time I went to a movie theater was for Indiana Jones, the Last Dial, I believe it was. The only reason I went is because I locked myself out of my brother's house and I needed something to kill time.
That's the only reason I went to see it.
So there was like two people in there.
Oh my gosh. Was it good? Was it a good movie?
I don't know. I give it like a 6.
A 6? Okay.
Some of the CGI was absolutely terrible, but other than that, it had a good story to it.
All right. And you had no place to go, so you loved it.
Exactly. I could sit down and just watch a movie for 2 hours.
That's hilarious. Hey, in a few minutes, Matt Harper will be here. He is a Wisconsin-based musician. He's going to perform live in the studio. I always love when people perform live on Nightlight. It's so much fun. And Rich Williams will be here a little later in the show. He is just a terrific comedian and a great writer. And he's teaching comedy now, and his classes are free. So you could probably learn a lot. Conrad, what do you say? Some free comedy classes?
You know, I think so.
Why not? Hey, if you have not checked out the Civic Media News Podcast, News Roundup, do that too. Go to civicmedia.us. It's at the top of every local page. Civic Media has like 20 stations. At the top of every local page is the News Roundup. It's like 8 or 9 minutes. You get sports, weather, news, and I do some Hollywood information there. Sometimes they're funny and insightful. But check it out at civicmedia.us or on the Civic Media app. All right, coming up next, Matt Harper. You're not going to want to miss this. He's great. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabe podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabe anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabe.
Welcome back. Coming up at about 8:20, my old pal Rich Williams will be here. Rich and I work together on a show called Sports Soup, which was like The Soup, only sports-based, and we had a great fun. And Rich is a very funny guy. He teaches stand-up comedy now, which is kind of cool. And he's also a very, very accomplished writer. So we'll talk to Rich in a little while. Right now, I am very excited to welcome my next guest. I've been looking forward to having this guy on for a while now. He is a local musician based here in Wisconsin, primarily Northeast Wisconsin, and he joins us now in studio, Matt Harper. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
You're kind of getting used to these digs here, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting pretty comfortable. You guys are going to probably have to kick me out of here pretty soon. So.
I think we want you to be like our house band or something.
Maybe. That'll be all right. I'll do it. Yeah.
We keep having you here. So, all right. So tell us, for those of you who don't know, Matt is you just have a new album out, right?
Actually, just a new single.
A new single, okay.
Yep. Just actually came out last Friday. It's called Pretend. I actually performed it on the Mino and the Mayor show a couple weeks ago. So I'm looking forward to hopefully performing it again tonight for a new audience. But yeah, the music industry's changed so much and albums aren't really what they used to be. So everybody's kind of doing the single thing. Even though I'm keeping my fingers crossed as a 90s kid, the albums are coming back with the reinvent of vinyl and even CDs at local shows start to come back a little bit. So.
How about that? They're releasing vinyl again.
Yeah, new vinyl. And actually, have you been to Rock and Roll Land here in Green Bay on Military?
No.
It's a fantastic record store if you haven't. Got to check it out. But I was so surprised. They even have new cassettes there. Like the new Taylor Swift album on cassette was there. You could buy it. The new Metallica album, 72 Seasons, was there. I almost bought it just because it's like, I think the last cassette I bought was Coolio Gangster's Paradise in probably 1995. So.
Why cassette? Like vinyl, I get it. Has such a unique sound.
It's way better. The cassette one, I don't get.
I don't get that either.
The sound is terrible, but.
You gotta rewind. Like, yeah, who wants to do all that?
Pain. It's a pain. But yeah, it's cool that some of that stuff is coming back. So eventually, this grouping of songs that I have, I will probably put out as an album. But for now, I'm trying to do a new song like every 6 to 8 weeks and just keep it going.
Is it expensive to produce onto vinyl?
Yeah, it's vinyls that are your most expensive. You know, like, for example, just rough numbers off the top of your head, you wanted to get 100 vinyl records made, you're probably looking $1,200, $1,300 just cost to do that. Wow. Compared to a CD, which is, you know, even with the booklet and everything, probably closer to $3, $4 to get made. So it's crazy expensive, but it's the new thing. So you gotta stay on top of that.
I love that, and we were just talking about this the other night, I love that vinyl is coming back because it's, you know, when the CDs came out, it was like all crisp and perfect, and that's fine.
Right.
For like classical music or whatever, but for rock and roll, hip hop, I don't mind a little crackle or grit. It's like YouTube. It's like watching something on YouTube. It's not high def.
Yeah.
But it's cool, and if you're into it, you don't care if there's little
100%,
flaws.
100%. I just love the whole experience of doing, of playing a vinyl record. It's just so much fun. Like, I'm such a, I love the booklet. I love looking at the pictures inside, or if they have lyrics, you know, learning the lyrics off of the lyric pages. And I actually just got the new Metallica album on vinyl. I opted for that instead of the cassette at Rock and Roll Land. But
nice.
It's great. Like their whole presentation of that album is just fantastic. They got all the pictures of the band, and, you know, it's two records long. So, you know, you get to get your four songs on one side, your four songs on the next side, flip the neck, you know, it's just, I love everything about it. And yeah, to your point, I think the sound quality is just so much better. I think this digital music has its goods and its bads. One of its main bad points is it kind of over compresses everything. So you don't get that full rich sound like you would with a vinyl record.
That's really interesting.
Actually, a producer friend of mine from Milwaukee named Miko Marhal, we just started working together again. He actually does a lot of my music with me. He made a great point the other day. He said, you know why rap music nowadays, they use all this like distorted bass and drums and everything? It's because everybody listens to it on their cell phone and there's no subwoofer, there's no bass. So you don't hear any of those parts unless they're distorted.
Oh, wow.
So that's where a lot of that stuff, I mean, digital music has even affected the way that people, you know, choose their instruments now and the effects that they use.
It's kind of like, and I don't mean to dwell on this too much, but my dad, growing up, my dad was really into classical music and opera and all that. And it's, you know, I grew up with the 70s and 80s music and rock and roll, and like, and I have an appreciation for all musics now, but different kinds of music. But I like, you know, when someone is singing, if they don't have a perfect instrument as a voice,
yeah,
but there's a little rasp.
Absolutely.
It's more about the soul of what's being said or sung to me than it is about a perfect. I appreciate that too.
Yeah.
But that's what I love about rock and hip hop and stuff like that.
Absolutely. Me too. And, you know, a lot of my music's that too. I don't have the greatest voice in the world either. But what I always liked for any musician, you know, you can pick a million of them. Just because I brought up Metallica so many times, I'll use James Hetfield. I mean, you listen to his early music, you know, and he's kind of got that higher pitch voice. And then after a couple albums, he really figures that out. And I think what makes him so, you know, dynamic is that he's got that raspiness, he's got that grit, he's got that, you feel the pain in his lyrics when he's singing, and the growl, and that's what I love about it. So
it's funny you say Metallica. When I was growing up, I was not like a headbanger, or I wasn't really into metal, like maybe like Quiet Riot and the more poppy stuff.
Yeah.
But like Metallica scared me. Like I saw those guys and I'm like, I just didn't have anything in common. I was from a, you know, regular upper middle class.
Yeah.
They kind of freaked me out a little bit. And
and
I get older, I'm like, God, it's just great tunes.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, what the heck was I, you know, they're great.
I'm biased. I think they're the greatest band that ever played music in any genre. So I say that all the time, but again, I'm very biased. So I was fortunate enough. I actually just saw them in Detroit with Pantera last November. So
Pantera, there's a name from the past.
Oh yeah. It was amazing.
Okay. So I saw in your bio that the first thing you did musically was rap.
Yeah.
As a young teen, like 13, 14 years old.
13, yep.
How was that? How'd you get into that? And where did that go from there?
So really how I got started was talking back to old media formats when CDs were popular. You didn't always have the $20 to buy the whole album. So singles were super popular. And on the rap singles, you would get, you know, the radio version, the album version, you get the instrumental. So I started making my own lyrics up to instrumentals of other songs, like, you know, I've seen the movie 8 Mile, you know, how they do the freestyle. That's kind of what I did, but I was more writing them. And then I would use whatever recording equipment was at my disposal, and they would sound terrible. The quality was awful. Some of them weren't even with a mic. It was just like a live recorder, like next to the speaker. But I started that way and then connected with some local musicians. And rap was so popular back then, you know, the early to mid 2000s. And There's a lot of people that were doing that music here locally. And yeah, just kind of one thing morphed into another. And we got a group of guys together. We started to put on concerts and
really,
yeah, it was so much fun. And
as a teenager,
yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Where did you perform?
So a lot of our shows were in the Appleton area. That's where I went to high school. So some venues we played at was the Wave, which isn't around anymore. Park Central. There used to be this live music club that I think the whole building is gone. It was called like the Garage or something. We played there before. Even like funny enough, the Columbus Club was a venue that we could rent out, and we did a couple shows there.
Did you make money off these? Like,
was like break enough to keep even. You going at least? Yeah, okay. It was like, and it's not what we were in it for either.
Right.
You know, it was always like, if I got to spend, even to this day now, if I got to spend a little money, but I can fill up a room and everybody has a good time and appreciates the music, I'm all for that. You know, I'll spend $200 at a bar on a Saturday night. I'd much rather lose $200 putting on a show and, you know, get some exposure for my music. So
how are you spending that much in a bar too? What happened all of a sudden you leave your house and you can't go back home without dropping $100 or $200 somewhere?
Honestly, you go to Lenny's Tap and there's a game on like there is tonight. It just gets wild in there. And before you knew it, it's 2 a.m. and you just spend $200. It's time to go home.
Who are the people, like when you were 13 and you wanted to do rap, who were you listening to? Who were your influences then?
Oh, so back then, like I was a huge fan of Cypress Hill. I loved House of Pain. Everlast had just kind of left House of Pain and started to do like his rap rock type stuff. I was super into that. And then all the classics. I mean, my first rap album that I was really into was like Tupac, Snoop Dogg, a lot of those bands. But what really like turned the dial for me and kind of brought me into the music I make now is when like the two meshed together in the late 90s, early 2000s with your Limp Bizkit, Linkin Park, POD, yeah. Saliva, those kind of bands, the new metal wave it was called. But when they started to do that, it was like, this is actually super, super cool and super unique. It's not the Run DMC, Aerosmith. That was cool and that was amazing in its day, but it didn't have like the cool vibe on the street like that music had. You know, it was like, you've got these guys that are rapping in their verses and then death metal screaming in the choruses and it blended together so cool. So that was really, I think my biggest influences and what made me fall in love with trying to make my own music was that whole era.
Matt Harper joins me on Nightlight here. He is a local musician here in Northeast Wisconsin. Do you travel around the state to perform? Do you just keep it mostly local?
Yeah, that's the goal. Hopefully later this year. You know, I do know quite a few musicians in the Milwaukee area, so that would probably be the first market we tap into. But the first show I'm looking to have is definitely going to be in Green Bay, hopefully sometime August, September.
Okay. Where do you play here when you play in town?
I haven't, with my new project that I'm working on now, I haven't performed yet. I'm thinking the first show is going to be at Stage One Lyric Room. So I've been talking with those folks. It's on Broadway.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't live in Green Bay, so I'm still kind of getting familiar. I actually live an hour away. So
Okay. Yeah. So just on the other side of the river here. Yep. It's right next to, it used to be Kegger's Bar, right across from Copper State Brewing. So.
So what's the scene like for, what would you say your genre is now? Now you've segued into rock more with an R or with a rap style.
Yes, for sure.
Talk about the connection between those two genres.
It's crazy because, you know, hip hop originally really it had a ton of rock influence because if you look back to the, you know, when it really started in the 70s and 80s in New York, they were sampling a lot of rock albums because that's what you did back then. So I think the two have always been connected. When it gets to this, you know, metal rap part, that was really a product of the 90s and when I really started to get big into music. And it was always my favorite style of music personally that I listened to. And, you know, just some good advice from other musicians is like you can't ever make anything for the reason that you think other people will like it. You have to make music that you like, that you feel, that you're passionate about. So when I really step back, you know, now I'm not a 17-year-old kid anymore. The rap, hip-hop industry has changed. The genre has changed. It's not what I grew up with. Not trying to sound like a crabby old man here, but it's just different, right?
Right.
So I'm like, if I'm going to make music again, it's not going to be that. It's not going to be contemporary rap because that's just not me. I don't feel that kind of music, but I love this rap rock and it's starting to make a comeback. I mean, you're seeing bands like not that Creed was in that genre, but bands from that era, like Creed's just like selling out shows all over the place. I mean, I just watched some clips of Limp Bizkit in Brazil and they had like 200,000 people at their concert. So you're seeing.
Really? Now?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Just like a week ago. So you're seeing a lot of this come back. And then there's new bands that are out, like I Prevail, From Ashes to New, Jairus Johnson. These guys kind of have that vibe, but they're bringing a little bit of the newer effects, newer hip hop genre into it. And it's just really, really exciting. So when I started thinking about the kind of music I was going to make, I'm like, I think that's it. I'm going to combine my two favorite styles of music together, kind of make it my own thing, do the rap rock and just run with it.
Good for you, man. That's so cool. So who are your influences now? Who do you listen to now?
Oh, well, of course, Metallica.
Yeah.
On my playlist, I'm such a broad music fan. Like I'm going to probably blow your mind here for a second, but like I'll do anything from Hank Sr. to Bruce Hornsby in the Range to Pantera to
I don't associate Bruce Hornsby with metal or rap.
I just love it all.
Yeah.
But really, like if we're talking music that I listen to all the time, it's definitely Metallica, Pantera, probably my 1A and 1B. From a rap side, I really like the Cypress Hill. That bring in some of that live instrument, some of the guitars. That's always been, always been my thing. So,
well, I think we're going to do something here and then I'd love to hear you perform.
Absolutely.
You sent me this song Pretend, which I love.
Yep. That's my newest one. Just came out last Friday.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. How's it doing? Are people finding it?
Yeah. It's doing pretty good. Actually, we just went over 1,000 streams on Spotify.
Good for you.
On Monday afternoon. So
that's so cool. Okay. Matt Harper is here in studio. When we come back, he is going to perform his new song, Pretend, or something else, whatever you want. We'll get to them both.
Yeah, we'll do that.
We'll get a whole catalog.
I got nowhere to be, so whatever you need me to do.
Two of us. All right, Matt Harper's here. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight. More with Matt next on the Civic Media Radio Network. Back. Our question tonight, now that all these iconic Airbnbs have been, you can stay in the Up House, you can get a private show, Kevin Hart's living room, all kinds of different kind of cool things you can do in the way of Airbnb rather than just stay at some schlump's house. So where would you go? I said I would want to live in the Bosch house. From the TV show Bosch, which overlooks the Hollywood Hill, overlooks the city of Los Angeles.
That would be amazing. Yeah.
Isn't that a great show?
That house is incredible.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Just watching it on a high def TV, you feel like you're kind of there. But the glass windows, it's amazing. And then maybe Seinfeld's apartment.
All right. Was that a real apartment or is that just in a studio somewhere?
I could roll with that. And if Kramer was there, George,
for sure. Yeah.
If I was part of the gang.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kramer. Conrad, what did you say?
I said Hogwarts.
Oh, Hogwarts and Joey and Chandler's apartment.
Yes.
Okay. What about you, Matt? What would you do?
Man, that's a hard one. But as I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking like that might have been the first or second season of Game of Thrones in Winterfell, that like black castle with the old fireplaces. It's just so cool. Like
guys are both diabolical.
The beds are made up of like full like bear skin blankets and it'd just be baller.
I want to be at the Red Wedding. That's where I want to have an Airbnb.
No. I don't know if you want to be there, Pete.
I want to be anywhere near. Medieval stuff creeps me out. I can't do medieval. Whenever I go to those dinners where they have those seven courses and they, I'm convinced like back in the 90s, people just wanted to call women wenches or something.
Sure.
And, like, I don't
get away with it. Yeah.
I don't get what the attraction was. The food wasn't that great. I'm not at all. Whatever. We're off on a tangent here. Yeah. Okay. So, all right, Matt Harper is here. He is a Northeast Wisconsin musician and a very talented guy. You sent me a couple tracks. The first one was Pretend, yep, and another one called Burn It Live. So yep, I'm going to let you perform first, whatever you want. I thought yeah, they were both great. We'd let's love do, to hear whatever you want to do.
Let's do Pretend first. This is my new song. It's out on all the streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music. You can find it anywhere. Just look up Matt Harper Pretend. So yeah, let's do this one first.
Very cool.
Locked in my own mind, it's like a prison cell. Caged like a rabid dog, it's personal hell. Yeah, I'm fully messed up from the indecision. Paralyzed from these dark times past recognition. Just don't get it, I hear it, I see it, I live it. But I cannot comprehend the thoughts under this black fitted mind. Races and paces a thousand miles a minute. Close my eyes, it's just faces and places. And I'm still trapped in. I run away every single day. Pretend this won't happen to me over again. Lost the words to say I am not okay. I try to pretend this won't happen to me again and again. All the times I had the opportunity, I let it pass. Now I'm stuck in this room, vivid moments of the past. I know that I can't get it back, but it's all I have. I replay this every day. I'm a wreck. Throw this beer bottle up against the wall. For every single time you didn't return my calls. Look at this, of course this is how it would be. Try and blame you and we both know that it's me. I run away every single day. I try to pretend this won't happen to me over again. Lost the words to say I am not okay. Try to pretend this won't happen to me again and again. Can we chill with the noise? Yeah, I just need space. Misguided mistakes thrown back in my face. Overwhelmed by this place and I lost all faith. Yeah, I did it to myself. It's the bed that I made. There's a butcher with a smile, my heart on the cutting board. I've been living in denial. I could not take it anymore. Weighed on my mind so heavy, collapsed me. Stuck in one place so long, life passed me. So I try to build focus even when it seems hopeless. I'm a bastard and I know this, you should quote it. Yeah, I own it. Built these walls around me, then complain that I'm isolated, knowing full well this is something I created. So for months I stay faded and jaded and hoped it go away. Trust I betrayed it, became hated, myself to blame. Drowning in confliction and distance. Well, in my mind I see this image, but real life everything is so different. Am I really living? I run away every single day. I try to pretend this won't happen to me over again. Lost the words to say I'm not okay. I try to pretend this won't happen to me again and again.
Very nice.
There we are. There we are.
Very nice. I definitely hear in the background a little Metallica influence.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that
yeah,
you doing the background too?
Yeah, yep. So ultimately, like the live version of that, I just have like the main vocals lowered down a little bit just to give it some layers so it doesn't completely sound like I'm doing a bad karaoke rendition of my own song. So
how yeah, long does it take from soup to nuts when you go into this recording to yeah, record something and you come out
with something you're happy probably, with? It's probably, you know, just the instrumentation and recording process is probably a good 4 to 6 hours if you're doing it right. I try to be really well rehearsed because studio time's expensive.
That's it. One session.
Yeah. I try wow, to do it all in one session because, man, they're, you know, they're not cheap. So yeah, I don't want to waste the engineer's time and anybody else that's there's time. So I want to make sure I can knock everything out and try to do it all in one. But, it's crazy to me. Like my creative process is, you know, I like to have the music, sit with the music for a little while and then write the lyrics after that. So the more and more I do this, the faster and faster I'm getting yeah, at it again, where I actually just recorded another new song that'll be out in a couple of weeks last week. And I probably wrote that one in about 45 minutes and it's pretty solid. So,
wow, nice.
Yeah, it's getting better, but yeah, just do a song. Yeah, probably about 4 to 6 hours. And then of course your mixing is, I'm not there for that. They send me different versions of it, and then it goes off to mastering. So it's a whole process. Even yeah, even at this level, you know, not national by any means, but it's pretty involved. So.
Yeah. Wow. I had no idea that. And when you go in there too, and you're paying for it, that makes it you want to be probably more efficient too. It's coming out of your own pocket.
Be as efficient as possible, 100%.
Oh, yep. That's so great. Well, it was a great song. We're gonna hear more from Matt coming up next. Our question tonight: where do you want to stay? What iconic Airbnb place would you choose if you could stay anywhere from TV or movies or wherever? Let us know what you think, folks. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Matt Harper is here in studio. Coming up next, we're going to hear another song by Matt, and I've got some great questions for him. I'm going to find out your favorite part of the whole process.
All right.
You get an idea when you leave the studio. We'll do that next. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Rich Williams coming up next hour. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Here she comes now, walking with a lone.